Very interesting. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. Hallelujah. I want you to notice, sitting across from the temple treasury, Jesus was watching people. He watched how the crowd dropped money into the treasury. Well, God doesn't care what I give, really. He does. He absolutely does. Many rich people were putting in large sums. Praise God for rich people. Amen. And a poor widow came and dropped in two tiny coins, worth very little. Summoning his disciples, he said to them, "I assure you, this poor widow has put in more than all those giving to the temple treasury. For they all gave out of their surplus, but she gave out of her poverty, put in everything she possessed, all she had to live on." And how many know that she ended up having more than what she put in? Why? How do I know that? Because Jesus took notice of it. When Jesus takes notice of something, he does it for a reason. Amen? So tonight, when you invest in VCF, you're investing in souls. You're investing in a place that preaches the gospel. Amen? And we not only do it here, but we partner with others who are preaching it in other countries as well. So, Father, I give you thanks and praise for every gift and every giver. Lord, we give you thanks. We give because you have given to us. And so, Father, as you are honored tonight with our offerings, with our gifts, Lord, we call them blessed. Lord, you will multiply them. You will increase them supernaturally. Let your blessing be upon every gift and every giver. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you're able, make sure you deposit that into the blessing. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad you're here on a Wednesday night. Are you glad you're here? Glory to God. I want you to turn to the book of James, chapter 2. We've been talking about faith and healing. And we're going to continue with faith and healing. Amen? I'm really excited about the things that God is showing me about faith. And we're going to deal with something tonight. In James chapter 2 and verse 17. He says, "Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone." Now, when you think of someone that's dead, what do you think of? Can they do anything? Can they go anywhere? Can they say anything? No, they're dead. Okay? So we're going to deal with faith without works is dead tonight. And, you know, this is not a comparison between faith and works. When you have faith, things are going to happen in your life. Amen? Because faith gives you access to the power of God. When your microwave is plugged in, and you get some popcorn and you put that popcorn in the microwave and you set it to the setting and you hit start, what do you expect to happen? You expect that microwave to come on and you expect popcorn to be popped, and your mouths are probably already watering right now. And if you go to turn that microwave on and it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, what's your reaction? Why isn't it working? You know, last week we talked about how faith is increased, how faith grows. And faith, if it doesn't have works, is that, in other words, if you believe something and you don't do anything with what you believe, you believe it, you accept it as truth, but it just stays there. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, right? But then how is faith released? Once faith comes, how do we release it? You got to release it when it comes, right? You know, how many just get their mail every day and you don't open one letter? How many just have piles and piles of letters, unopened letters, at your house? Why do you open those letters? Because they're addressed to you. Well, if they're bills, I can understand that. I'm not talking about bills. You open those letters because it was sent to you, and you want to find out what's on the inside of them. Well, the same thing is true with faith. When faith comes, you're talking about the power of God coming to your heart to move mountains, to create things, to make the impossible possible, to make the unseen seen. And it is revving up on the inside of you to come out. You have got to couple, you have got to join your faith with action. Because faith without works is dead. That word works there, it means like an occupation, an implication, an act. Dead, it simply means a corpse. It's there, but it's not doing anything. You know, that's like sitting in a boat in the middle of the ocean and no paddle and no motor. And you're left to the mercy of whatever, either the waves or the wind, and if there's no waves or wind, you're not going to be going anywhere. Unless you feel like swimming. Amen? Faith without works is like that boat without a paddle and a motor. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to create anything. It's dead. Okay? Now, I want to point out something that James has said previously. Okay? I just want you to look at these scriptures. James 1:2. He says, count it all joy when you fall into trials. Would counting it all joy be an act of faith? Notice, it said when you fall into trials. You didn't expect these things to happen, but they happened. But he's telling you, count it all joy. That's an act of faith. Man, if you fall into a trial, the world wants to cry, wants to complain, and you're counting it all joy, you're weird. Listen, faith isn't normal, faith is supernatural. The natural man doesn't understand faith. So James, prior to saying faith without works is dead, he said, count it all joy. He also said in verse 4, James 1:4, let patience have its perfect work. Uh-oh, that means you have to allow patience to work in your situation. Did you know that faith and patience work together? Did you know that when something happens that you cannot control, you're going to have patience? Patience is for things you can't control. Long-suffering is for people. But patience comes alongside and strengthens faith. So James said, let patience have its perfect work. That word perfect, complete. So guess what? If you find yourself in a situation and you're getting irritated and ticked off easily, patience isn't done yet. Let it work. Okay? James 1:5. He said, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. But then he said, ask in what? ask in faith. What does it mean to ask in faith? It means, number one, you're asking according to God's will or His word. Number two, you're believing what God said about the situation. And number three, you're acting like you already have it. That's what it means to ask in faith. Okay? Verse 12 of James 1. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, and his approval leads to a crown of life. When the Bible says to endure temptation, does that mean quit halfway through? See, faith doesn't quit. Faith endures temptation. To endure temptation means temptation comes, you resist it, and it goes. To endure something means you go through it, but you come out on the other end. That's a characteristic of faith. Okay? James, verse 13 of James 1. Don't say that God tempted you. When something is leading you astray, oftentimes people want to blame God. Why did God do this? I remember a lady years ago who came to our church. She thought God took her husband. She was blaming God for taking her husband, and she came to that service that night, and she got set free. Every time she was going to get up, she fell back down, and every time she fell back down, she got free of something else. But she was blaming God. See, she told us this afterwards. We didn't know anything about it until afterwards. The Lord touched her, set her free from bitterness, and even healed her eye. But see, if you're in the midst of temptation, faith never says that God tempted me, because the Bible said God doesn't tempt. Okay? Verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. When you hear God's word, you are supposed to do something with it. What should I do? Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do. We're not supposed to hear the word of God and say, hey, Pastor, that was a good message. Yeah, I heard you. That was a great message. Good message. What are you doing with it? Oh, I'm not doing anything with it, but I heard it. You know what happens? You're going to deceive yourself. You're going to take the place of the devil in your own life by not doing what God said to do. He said, if you don't do it and you only hear it, you will deceive yourselves. Why am I saying this? I'm leading up to faith without works is dead. I never put these together, but James is giving us qualities of faith so that he's telling us that faith without works is dead. Okay? James 1:19, be swift to hear. How does faith come? By hearing. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. In other words, before you talk about your situation, listen to what God says about it. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Faith comes by hearing. When you have a circumstance and a situation in your life, your first reaction should be to find out what God says about it. That way you can have faith for it. But sometimes we don't always do that, do we? We react out of our emotions. When we don't even know all the facts. And then you're like, oh. Then more information comes because you weren't swift to hear, but you were swift to act. You ever do that? And you wish like, oh, I wouldn't have acted that way. That means you acted too quickly and you didn't listen enough. Pastor, you're stepping on my toes, I know. I don't want this body to have wishy-washy faith. but I want everyone here to be a champion in faith. I want you to be able to face your Goliath and cut his head off. I want you to be able to remove mountains that stand in your way of your blessing. And I want you to be able to tell that mountain to go. I want you to be strong and powerful. That's what God wants too. All right? James 1:21, lay aside all filthiness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Do you realize that you can't be filthy and walk in faith? Uh-oh. You're one of those holiness preachers. Yeah, that's right. I'm just like Jesus. Be holy for I am holy. That's what Jesus said. Lay aside all filthiness. Why? Because the word purifies you. The word expects you to live a pure life. Why do you think God destroys the power of sin in your life? So that you could go into it again? So that you could be in bondage again? No, he wants you out of darkness. He wants you walking in the light as he is in the light. Part of faith is receiving God's word in your heart. All right, let's go on. Verse 22, be doers of the word. Not hearers. I think I already read that, but. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. James, verse 24. Don't be a forgetful hearer. Did you know that if you hear the word on whatever subject, but if you don't receive it into your heart and you don't do it, what's going to happen? You're going to forget it. The Bible is telling us to not be a forgetful hearer. How do you not forget something? You know, for some, you got to write yourself a note. Leave yourself a message. In other words, you've got to keep it before you. God tells us to bind the word around our neck. Right? Put it on our heads. It should affect every part of our being. Our ears, our eyes, our mouth, our feet, our hands. You know, if you forget what God says, it's going to be hard to do it, isn't it? Now, what did you say, God? Now, God is gracious and he reminds us. But we should study the word so that we could get it in our hearts, so that we could keep it before us. How are you going to prevent yourself from sinning? Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Okay, let's go on. Verse 25, James 1. Look into the perfect law of liberty and what? Continue in it. I know a lot of people, they're chugging along like a choo-choo train. Woo-woo! Choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. But all of a sudden, they get off track. When a train is off track, it cannot continue. It is every believer's responsibility to continue in the Word. Oh yes, you will have opportunities to quit. You'll have opportunities to get offended. You'll have opportunities to doubt. You'll have opportunities to give up. But the Bible teaches us to hold firm, to stand strong, to be strong in God's grace. Look into the law and continue in it. Don't stop believing. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist that. James 1:26, a truly religious person will bridle the tongue. Uh-oh. If you want to claim to be religious, if you want to tell people that you're a religious person, you better control your tongue. If you don't control your tongue, don't tell everybody that you're religious. Is faith connected to our speech? Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. That's how faith works. Okay? James chapter 2, verse 8. Fulfill the royal law as to love your neighbor as yourself. Does faith work by love? Absolutely. If you are not treating people the way God would treat them, then that will hinder your faith, because faith works by love. Why? Because God is love. The Bible didn't say that God is faith. The Bible said God is love. God is good. So the more developed you are in love, the more powerful your faith will be. If you want to be a person of strong faith, then you're going to be someone who loves people. And if you want to know what that means, 1 Corinthians 13. If you're taking account of the wrongs done to you, you're diminishing in your love. Love doesn't fail, does it? Love can hold up under anything, can it? Just think of how long did God have to wait for you? How long did God have to wait for you to ask Jesus into your heart? Long time for some of us. Okay? James 2:10. Whoever keeps the law and stumbles in one point is guilty of all. So, you've got to keep the whole Word of God. You can't pick and choose which parts you're going to keep. Well, let's see, I like this and this, but I don't like this. I'll do this and this, but I'm not doing this, God. Really? Then you're guilty of all. I didn't say that. God did. I didn't say that. I didn't come up with that idea. See, faith without works. If you really believe something, it'll be evident in how you act, how you speak, and how you carry yourself. If you really believe that you should love your neighbor as yourself, when you hurt your neighbor, maybe you don't know that you hurt him, but maybe you find out. You know, let's say I hurt Les, but I didn't know that I hurt him, but then I found out I hurt him. If I really believe that I should love my neighbor, I say, Les, you know what, I'm really sorry for hurting you. Would you please forgive me? Don't leave me hanging, man.
I guess. Sure.
See, if I found out that I hurt someone, and I could, I should go to that person. Oh, you mean I got to swallow my pride? Listen, you shouldn't even have pride. Did you know that pride is not in your DNA? Pride is in someone else's DNA, called the devil. Woo! We're going to need a first aid kit after tonight, I think. See, because of what you believe, you will do things that are good things in God's kingdom. Did Jesus do works? He said, if you don't believe me for what I've said, believe me for the very works' sake. What were some of the works that Jesus did? He raised the dead. What else? He healed people. What else? He what? He fed people. He forgave people. He cast out devils. That's a good work. Can we do the works that he did? Absolutely. Those are good works. And guess what? You can't do those good works without faith. But when you're a person of faith, you will do those good works because of your faith. So, when you have faith, faith is something that's alive and active. Faith is powerful. God created this world by faith. The very same faith that he used to create the world, he gives to us in Jesus' name so that we can do the good works that he's called us to. Go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Look at verses 9 and 10. This really sums it up right here. Okay? He's talking about salvation, right? Salvation is not of works. In other words, you can't work your way to be saved. You can't be good enough to be saved. There's nothing you can do to be saved except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship. That word workmanship means masterpiece. Say, I am God's masterpiece. You're better than a Michelangelo. You're a Jesus Christ. He has made you in his image. He chiseled you. He filled you with his life. Okay? You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So you're created in Christ unto what? Good works. God wants you to do good works, but he wants you to do good works by faith. In other words, your motive for doing good works is because you believe God and you love God. That's your motive. You're created to do good works which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Notice, should is not automatic. Who's going to walk in God's good works that he created you to do? Who's going to walk in them? Why are you going to walk in those good works? Because you choose to, because you're a person of faith, right? Because faith gives you access into what God has for you. You know, if God tells you to be something in life, then because you believe what God said, you are then going to take necessary steps to become what God said about you. God told me, he said, he called me to preach the gospel. So because God called me to preach the gospel, I didn't sit home and do nothing. I began to train. And I needed more training, so God told me to go to a school. How do I know I had faith? Because I went. See, going and doing what God said is the works that come along with faith. That shows God that my faith is not dead, my faith is alive because it's moving, it's doing, it's being. My school was in Oklahoma. I had never been to Oklahoma. I put in my application. I did everything I needed to do. And I told God, we were scheduled to go to New Zealand in the month of July in 1990. School was going to start late August. I told God, I said, God, I would like to know if I'm hearing from you, so could you please send my acceptance letter before I leave for New Zealand so I'm not in New Zealand wondering if I'm accepted. Guess what? The day before we left, I got my acceptance letter. But I want you to know, I'd already done some things. I already started moving towards that goal. Because if I didn't have any movement, if I didn't have any action, my faith would be dead. You don't want to have a rest in peace sign on your faith. to Genesis 26. Genesis 26. I want you to see something here. It has to do with your faith and your works. Verse 1 of Genesis 26 said, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went into Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. I want to stop right there. Too many times, people use circumstances to determine the direction of their life. Isaac could have looked at this circumstance and he could have said, I'm getting out of here. I've seen famines before, and this is a bad famine. And he could have let that famine direct his life, but guess what? That famine is not God. If you're looking to circumstances and to natural things to direct you, you're going to miss God. Oftentimes people say, okay, God, I'll go here if you open that door. You know what? You should go because God said go. You should go because you heard his voice, not whether or not there's an open door or not. Because if God says go, you can knock down the door. Now, I want you to know what happens to Isaac. Verse 2. The Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Because that's what Abraham did when there was a famine. He went down to Egypt. Isaac would have done what his father did if he was allowing the circumstances to guide him in his life. God appeared to him, though. The word, in other words, you could say it like this. The word came to Isaac. He said, dwell in the land which I shall tell you. So now Isaac's got a choice. Are you going to let God guide you, or are you going to let your circumstances guide you? If you let your circumstances guide you, you're going to miss God. Okay? Verse 3. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you. Where is God going to be with Isaac? In this land. Not the land he was going to. If Isaac would have went, God wouldn't have been with him. And, okay, I will be with you. I will bless you. For unto you and your seed will I give all these countries. I will perform the oath which I swore to my father, Abraham your father. I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. Did God give Isaac his word? He gave him things that God promised to do, right? Verse 5. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws. Thank God for godly mentors. Abraham was a mentor to Isaac. Abraham left Isaac not only goods, but a heritage of faith. He showed Isaac how to believe God. Remember, Isaac went with Abraham when Abraham was going to offer him on the mount. And Isaac went with him. He had to trust that his father wasn't going to kill him. So the question is, yes, you might be in a bad circumstance, but that circumstance doesn't get to lead you. It doesn't get to guide you. Let God's voice guide you. Faith without works is dead. If you're letting the circumstances guide you in life, you have dead faith because you're looking to the wrong things to lead and guide you. Verse 6, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. God told them to stay where there was a famine. But when you have God's voice, there's no circumstance that can overcome you. You will overcome every circumstance. Okay? Now, look at verse 8. And it came to pass when he had been there a long time. Maybe the famine had passed. I don't know how long the famine was. But he was there for a long time. He had to still keep in his heart what God said. He couldn't forget what God said. He couldn't let it go. He had to keep it before him. Isaac had to keep reminding himself what God said. Because that's the only thing that's going to get you through a bad circumstance. That's the only thing that's going to sustain you when trouble is occurring in your life, is remembering what God said, holding on to what God said, staying firm to what God said. Okay? Look at verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Now he's seeing the fulfillment of what God said. Now he's experiencing increase. Yeah, he didn't let the famine direct him. He didn't let the famine guide him. He let God guide him, and God blessed him in the midst of bad circumstances. Notice, oh my goodness, this is so powerful. Verse 13, and the man waxed great, went forward, and grew until what? Would you say that Isaac's faith had life or death? He was doing what God said. He wasn't looking to the circumstances. And even when he lied about his wife being his sister, see, he was still following the pattern in some things. And he almost put his wife at risk. But let me read this again. This is so powerful. This happened because he heard God's voice. He's planted, he received 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. He waxed great, he went forward and grew until he became very great. Verse 14, for he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. You know, when your enemy envies you, you're doing what God wants you to do. When the enemy starts envying you, you are in a place, your faith has life and not death. Your faith with works is alive, not dead. Faith with works that's alive will produce positive results. Faith without any action to it will produce nothing. There'll be no change. There'll be no growth. There'll be no development. There'll be no revelation. Why? Because it's dead things can't do anything. When your faith is dead, it can't do. Listen, dead faith can't even pray its way out of a paper bag. And this was all because God appeared to him and spoke to him. God's word came to him. And he went with God's word. He didn't go with his reasoning. He didn't go with what he was seeing with his natural eye. He looked at the fields. The ground was dry. The rivers were dry. The wells were drying up. He could have looked at all those things, but he didn't. And guess what? When you're in the midst of a bad circumstance, God's word can come to you too to deliver you out of it. But you got to mix your faith with action. Listen, if God spoke something to you and you're not doing it, shame on you. That's like saying God's a liar. If God said for you to do something and you're not doing it, that is just like saying God's a liar. Because you're believing you can't more than you can. You got to believe you can more than you can't. Matter of fact, let's just eliminate can't from our vocabulary. You know, if you need a swift kick in your cants, I'll give you one. Faith without works. Faith with no action. Faith that's not doing anything is dead. But faith that does something is alive. Do you see that? Say, I'm a doer. Say, I do what God tells me to do. I'm obedient. I act swiftly in whatever God says. Now, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to finish up for tonight. Go to Matthew chapter 12. I am not talking to a group of people that has dead faith. You know why you don't have dead faith? Because you're here on a Wednesday. That's one sign that your faith isn't dead. Oh, it's Wednesday. Oh, we got church. I forgot all about it. We've only been having it for 10 years. We only announce it every Sunday. I'm just playing with you, okay? My point is this. You know what? In the body of Christ overall, there's just such a lack of committing to the things of God. What I discovered a couple years ago was that for many people, the things of God are an option, not a priority. So, Matthew chapter 12. And let's go down to verse 9, Matthew 12, 9. I always got to give you something about healing, because this is faith and healing, right? I want you to take two faith pills and a healing pill and call me in the morning. Take it three times a day. And you will see not just the symptoms, but the root go away. And behold, verse 9, and when he was departed there, he went into their synagogue. That was their church. Another gospel says he was teaching. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. I want you to get this picture. His hand was withered for whatever reason. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Religion has no compassion. They don't care about the man's withered hand. They don't care about the fact that he can't use his hand. They care about what day it is. Are you kidding me? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Listen, it's lawful to heal on any day. Every day in God's kingdom is a healing day. Let me tell you, Dr. Jesus is in his office 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He doesn't take a day off. He doesn't go golfing. Because if he did, he'd have all holes in ones. They were just looking to accuse him. And he said to them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if he fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold of it and lift him out? Can you imagine? You're taking Fluffy, your sheep, and Fluffy falls into a pit, and you're just going to leave Fluffy because it's a Sabbath. Oh, sorry, Fluffy. It's my day off. I'm rescuing you today. How dumb is that? But this is the idiocracy of religion. Let me say, not religion, but a religious spirit. Okay? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Say, I'm more valuable than a sheep. Say, I'm more valuable than a bird. You are. Wherefore, is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Then he said to the man, stretch forth your hand. Who said to the man? You might say the word spoke to the man whose hand was withered. He couldn't do anything with his hand, but because the word said, stretch forth his hand, the word gave him the power, faith came to that man's heart, and he could do whatever the word says to do. Say, I can do whatever the word says I can do. And that man stretched forth his hand. He did what he couldn't do before because he heard a different message. And he stretched it forth. I guess his faith was alive, because he did what God said he could do. Now, he didn't say, now, God, what's going to happen if I stretch forth my hand? He didn't say, how am I going to feel if I stretch forth his hand? You know, he didn't say, I don't feel like stretching forth my hand. The word just told him to stretch forth his hand. It wasn't up for discussion. Hello? When God tells you something, it's not up for discussion. God gives commands, not suggestions. Moses didn't get the 10 suggestions. These are 10 suggestions. If you feel like doing them, you can do them. But if you don't, it's okay. These are 10 commandments from God Almighty. When he stretched, when did his hand become whole? When he acted on the word of God. When the word said, stretch forth his hand, he stretched it, and that's when it became whole. See, God will give you his word, but you've got to walk in what he says. You've got to do what he says, and when you do what he says, then you'll get the power to change your circumstance. And that's still true today. God's will is for every person to be whole. Well, if I'm whole, how am I going to die? You can just go to sleep. There's nothing in God's word that says sickness has to take you home. Guess what? You can go home in a different vehicle. You don't have to go home in a rust bucket, a beater. You can use a different vehicle to get you to where you're going. Amen? So don't give sickness that power. You can be healed of sickness just as much as you can be saved from your sins. As much as God wants you saved, he wants you healed too. And as much as he wants you healed, he wants you to prosper. But I'm on a fixed income. Listen, God's word can supersede that fixed income. Let me just add this to you. Jacob's wages were changed 10 times. Jacob had no control over his income. But yet, how did Jacob, who couldn't control his income, ended up exceeding his boss? Because he put stripped sticks in front of sheep. What? God used, Jacob used stripped sticks that had bark white, bark white, bark white, and he put them in front of sheep, and they multiplied, spotted and speckled sheep. Where did he get that idea? From God. Let me tell you something. I don't care how many times your wages change, if you trust God, you will come out in the end. You will come out ahead. For 400 years, Israel was under slavery. You think your boss is a slave driver? Is he whipping you? Is he taking away your supplies and still making you do the same quota? That's what was happening in Egypt. And guess what? God took notice. And even though after 400 years of slavery, in one night, God made up for all the back wages. And the Bible says they plundered Egypt in one night. How did they do it? God said, go ask your masters for stuff. Do you realize slaves had to ask their slave masters for their stuff? And the slave masters gave it to the slaves. That had to be God. That had to be God. So let me tell you something. You can prosper. It doesn't matter what the economy does. Your prosperity is not based on the economy. It's based on God's word. Your health is not based on what the doctors say, because the doctors are great. As great as doctors are, they're limited, but there is a great physician that is always willing to give a second opinion. You don't have to walk through this life depressed, saying, woe is me. You can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Stop sucking the lemons and start listening to Jesus, and it'll change your face structure. He will turn your frown upside down. Praise God. Do you believe that? It is so. It is true. In Genesis 26, Isaac ended up getting so great that King Abimelech, king of the Philistines, said, you are more mightier than I. Leave my country, please. But how many know it's nice to leave when you got a whole lot of stuff? And you can go anywhere you want, however you want. That's what happened to Isaac, and it was all based because he did what God said. So God hasn't changed. What is he saying to you? Put action to whatever he said. If he told you to do something, stop messing around and start doing it. Stop coming up with excuses and start doing it. Be a person of action. When God says it, I'm going to do it. That settles, I believe it, and I'm going to do it. That settles it. Amen? And you will not have dead faith. Father, thank you so much for delivering us from dead faith. But Lord, our faith is strong, it's vibrant, and it's alive. I believe that there is faith in the house tonight. I think we need to stand up and we need to worship the Lord. And if you need prayer for anything, the answer is here. And if you need an answer, come and get it. Ding, ding, ding. You know what? I'm ringing the dinner bell. Ding, 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 ding. That means everybody out in the field, when they hear that sound, it's time for dinner, because dinner's coming on the table. I'm telling you, dinner's on the table tonight. Come and get it. Come and receive. So let's find a song that we can worship the Lord. And if you need prayer, just come up right now, because you're going to receive what you need.
Beyond the highest.
If you can, say, Lord Jesus, in this season, I allow no stress to come on me or to occur around me. I'm a peacemaker. I have the Prince of Peace in my heart, and the devil better not mess with me, because I will lead people to the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.